Gospel, chapter 15. I'm going to be doing a short series, probably 3 weeks or so, on the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about various gifts. But this morning, I want to introduce it by talking about why God gave gifts to men. Why did God give us gifts? What are we going to find out in the course of time what the gifts are? A little bit about discovering our gifts and putting them to use and so forth. But the first thing is why did God give gifts to men? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? And we find out in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Notice in verse 16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Say, "God chose me." Say it again. Doesn't that feel good? I remember, growing up as a kid, we used to have something called recess. Anybody old enough remember what that was? We had recess, and we go outside. You know, a lot of times we play all kind of sports and everything. And a lot of times, you know, they had teams, and so you'd have usually two good athletes or two popular people, you know, and they'd be the captains and they'd choose up teams. And you always hope you wasn't the last one chosen. And you sure hope that you didn't come down, not only were you the last one chosen, but you know, they kind of fought over who was going to have to take you. Oh, me. That wasn't too complimentary, was it? But notice what Jesus said. He said this, you know, sometimes, and I understand what we mean by that. We say, "I found the Lord," but the truth is he found us. He said, "You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me." He said, "I chose you." Think about that just for a moment. I know that's simple, but think about it. God chose you. God chose me. Wow. If I'd been God, I wouldn't have chosen me, Dwayne. Lord of mercy. I'd have been one of those that the last say, "You take him." "No, you take him." "No, you take him." "I had him last time. You take him." But God says, "I chose you." And notice, "and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. So one of the reasons God gave gifts unto men is he wanted us to bear fruit. And not just any kind of fruit, but fruit that will last. That means it's God fruit, it's eternal fruit, it's kingdom fruit. And God wants us to bear that. And so because of that, he gave gifts to us. Now, God wants us to be fruitful, but how? By his power. Look there in John. You're there in John 15. Look in verse 5. He said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do..." You can do... "Apart from me, you can do nothing," Jesus said. In other words, zero. Now, here's the thing. We all know that all of us, we are capable of doing some things, aren't we? We're capable of doing some things. I mean, you go to work every day. I trust you do, unless you're retired. Of course, if you're retired, you may work more. You might wish you had, you know. But anyway, we go to work every day. You do your job, whatever it is. You know what you can do. You're able to do some things. You take care of your family. So what's he saying here? "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He's talking about bearing this special kind of eternal God kind of fruit. He said, "Without me, you cannot bear this kind of fruit, the fruit that remains, the fruit that honors God, the fruit that is eternal." And so he's given us gifts, supernatural endowments and abilities, so that through them we can bear this fruit. Because without them, he said, you can what? Do nothing in that manner. You cannot bear this kind of fruit apart from... So one of the reasons God's given us these gifts we're going to see is because he wants us to bear fruit. A God fruit, an eternal fruit, and a kingdom fruit. And it's by his power. Listen, fruit in our lives, this kind of fruit in our lives, reveals the lordship of Jesus in our lives. No fruit, no lordship. I'm going to say it again. No fruit, no lordship. Because here's the thing. If we don't live, like he said, if you don't abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, you're not going to be able to what? To utilize these gifts that's been given to you, and therefore you will not bring forth fruit. Are you listening? This is why you see, he wrote to, you know, remember Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, yeah, you're saved and going to heaven, but he said, you're still carnal. He said, you're not bearing any God fruit. He said, there's strife and division among you. You getting drunk in church at communion? Well, that was a wild church, don't you know? Woo, Lordy. Most of us would have said for sure they ain't a saved one in the bunch. But he said what? He said, you're still what? You're still living according to what? The carnal fleshly nature. So he says, if you want to bear this fruit, what? We got to abide in him and we got to understand that he has given us certain abilities by his spirit, and only the fruit produced by those divine gifts and abilities are acceptable to God. In Hebrews 6, we don't have time to turn over there, but you can read it sometime. In those first few verses there where he talks about the foundation principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the things he says in there, he says, you have been redeemed from dead works. And too much of what takes place in the church is not taking place by the gift and empowerment and enablement of the Spirit, but it is religious dead works that are a substitute for it. And I've got news for you now. Don't get mad at me, but it stinks to God. Hold your place there, but turn over to Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 44, just before Daniel. Ezekiel 44. It's on page 1360. Did that help you? Right in there. Hallelujah. Verse 17, listen to this. God speaking concerning the priesthood. He said, when they enter the gates of the inner court, they are to wear linen clothes. They must not wear any woolen garment while ministering at the gates of the inner court or inside the temple. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waist. Now, what's the deal here? Is God just into comfort? I mean, you know, he's just not into that scratchy old wool material. He's into the, you know, he's into the cotton thing. No, notice what he goes on to say here. He said, even linen undergarments, they must not wear anything that makes them perspire. That's just a fancy word for sweat. He said, they cannot wear anything. In other words, what is God saying? He said, I do not want anything that has the appearance of a human effort going in to the ministry of the things of God. And too much of what we're doing, it has the perspiration marks and the smell of sweat upon it in the church. And we wonder why we cannot grow, we cannot thrive, we cannot make a difference. It is because, what? We are not bringing forth that good, eternal, God kind of fruit. Oh, we're doing something all right. But it's a work of the flesh. And so we think the cure, when it doesn't seem to be working, we think the cure is, well, we'll just double our efforts. Lord of mercy. We've been doubling and redoubling until we about wore out our double. Instead of double good, it's become double bad. And so he says, I want to make sure that you don't. So one of the reasons we're talking about, why did God give us supernatural endowments? Because he said, everything that's done, God is going to get the glory for it. If you can justify yourself, then you can glory before God. If you can do anything acceptable in yourself for God, then you can glory in God. But the Bible tells us, no, there shall no flesh glory in my presence, says the Lord. It's all going to be by God's grace, his supernatural endowment and ability. Not only in the regeneration of us, making us new creatures, but also in the building of the kingdom and the bringing forth of this God fruit. You are not going to change people's lives because you talk them into Jesus. Too much of what we call evangelism and stuff is just trying to talk people into something. That's what the religions of the world do. God says, no, I've got a better plan for you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're still talking about here about why God gave gifts. Why didn't God just turn us loose and say, go do the best you can, boys? Amen? I remember years ago, Brother Jimmy Swaggart used to say it this way. He said, you know, he said, too often, he said, this is what's happened in the church. Rather than listening to God and finding out what God wants and getting a hold of God's power and God's gifts and going out in that, he said, we come up with our own plan and then ask God to bless it. Then we wonder why he don't bless it. Because he's not going to bless the work of your flesh. You know, a lot of that, what we call, you know, what God calls those woolen garments that produce sweat and everything. We have another name for them in the New Testament. It's called religious pride. Come on. Because when we do those things externally, oh, we look so holy. Oh, yes. Look at me. Aren't I something? Aren't I special? Look at me. Jesus said, you got your reward. That's right. He said, that's it. You got your reward. Your reward is that people are going to pat you on the back. And some people are going to say, boy, aren't you something? That's your reward. But God's way, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, notice what it says here. One of the reasons why we're still talking about introducing this subject, why did God give gifts to men? Why did God give gifts to men? And here's the reason why. Everybody in the body is to be fruitful. I'm going to say that again. Everyone in the body is to be fruitful. Every member is to be fruitful. Ephesians 4:16. From him, Jesus, the whole body. Everybody say the whole body. How much is the whole body? Okay, how many of you are in the body of Christ? Where, whatever your part is, whether you're well, we know one part you're not. You're not the head. I think we can all agree on that, right? Jesus is the head. So either you're a neck bone, or you're a rib, or you're a little toe, or you're something, but whatever you are, you're in the body, right? Wherever you are. Notice what he says. From him, the whole body, joined and held together. Now, listen carefully. Don't let your mind wander right now. Joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now then, can your hand say to the wrist, I don't need you. I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. No, because as soon as your hand is separated from your wrist, I'm telling you what, its life expectancy is very, very short. Isn't that true? You're in the medical field, you know, isn't that true? But how many times do we think, and wouldn't it be funny, could you picture a being like this? Picture this, a giant head coming in, and it's got a hand sticking out here, and a foot sticking out here, and an elbow out there, because after all we need is Jesus. He's the head. As long as I'm connected to the head. Come on. Are y'all out there? I know that's humorous, but that's what we're saying. Yeah. Oh, I don't need Rick. I'm connected to the head. See there? I don't think so. That'd be a peculiar looking body, wouldn't it? But how many times do we do that? And we may not say it, but our actions may say it. Oh, I don't need to. Listen, it's held together. He said the body is held together by you. I got one, yes. I said, he says here, the scripture says the body is held together by you. He didn't say Jesus is holding the body together. Come on now, oh boy, I'm really attacking some religious sacred cows now. He didn't say Jesus held the body together. He said it's held together by every ligament and joint. By every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love. In other words, it's not, you know, it's not about whether or not Jesus is going to do his part to make the body grow. That's a given. It's whether or not you and I are going to discover our gifts and our gracings in God, and we will do what is necessary to begin to put those things into motion and commit to that and bring forth fruit. And that, he says, is going to cause the whole body to begin to grow up together in love. Yes. The reason it grows up in love is because I realize now how much I need you, and you realize how much you need me. So we're going to walk in love because strife does what? It separates, doesn't it? And if I separate my hand from my wrist, my hand is going to pay the consequences. Our problem is that we have never really, truly believed that. We believe I can separate from any part of the body and there is absolutely no consequences because after all, I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. I hate them, but I belong to Jesus. I'm mad at them, but I belong to Jesus. Some people are going to be in for a rude awakening. Isn't that true? What does the Bible say here? You looking at your word? See, this is why you need your Bible. See, now you're dependent on me, aren't you? You didn't bring your Bible. Oh, that preacher made that up. No, it's right there. We're going to read that again. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's what you are. That's what I am. I'm a supporting ligament. My part, connecting together. And when I separate from you, boy, I'm telling you, my life expectancy is short. Thank you for your enthusiasm. See, we like the idea. We don't mind the idea that I'm dependent on Jesus. But boy, that human pride don't like for me to think I got to be dependent on you. I'm dependent on them. That's right. I said, that's right. Amen. Amen. Turn to Romans 12 just a moment. By every joint. We're talking about why did God give gifts to us? He wants us to be fruitful. And he wants to understand that the only thing that's going to hold us together is as we begin to understand that every one of us have been endowed by the grace and the Spirit of God with certain supernatural gifts. Because if they're from God, they've got to be supernatural. And abilities, and that only those abilities and endowments will produce fruit, which brings life and health to the whole body. Amen. This is why there are no big I's and little U's in the body, because whatever, as Paul said, what have you got that you did not receive from God? Now see, the flesh wants to glory in itself. Well, I'll tell you what, it was all my hard study that made me what I am today. Well, we won't go there. No, he said it's supernatural ability. Look, verse 6. He says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. How many of you know you got a different function? Each one of us have a different function. We're equal as far as personage, but there's differences in function. Isn't that right? So just because your function is different from mine doesn't make you better than me or me better than you. It's just a matter of function, isn't it? I mean, it looks like you all got a body. Everybody I can see. Isn't that right? You getting ready today, didn't you depend on all the members of your body? I mean, your heart might not have combed your hair, but if it hadn't participated this morning, your hand wouldn't have done much. Isn't that right? You wouldn't have got far. He said, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Say one body. One body. Now, is there anybody in here you mind? Now, I promise I won't hit you in the head or the eye or anything, but can I come stomp your foot as hard as I can? No. No? What's the matter with you folks? Why not? I'm not going to bother your head. I'm not going to poke your eye. I'm not going to bother your stomach. Listen, I'll even make it the little toe. I won't even stomp your big toe, just your little one. Just right on the end. No? But you know, how easy is it for us to do that with other members in the body? We speak a word. We don't think about, oh, that's just a little toe. It doesn't matter. We don't need them anyway. We just, you know, we're just getting it done. Come on. Isn't that true? See, what is it? We haven't that's why I say we haven't believed this yet. If I believe I need you, then I can't treat you that way. Amen. I can't talk about you that way. I can't do those things to you.
That's right.
Either I'm temporarily gone brain dead and forgot how much I needed you, or I never really believed it.
Yeah.
He said, you form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's why I can't stomp your toe and your head like it. It's all connected. I said it's all connected. You know what? The Bible says we're supposed to all be connected. Connected. Not disjointed. Connected. You know, what was it the other night? Paulette, by the way, if you're not here on Wednesday night, you're missing it. Good. Teaching here on Wednesday night. Listen. Stir yourself up. If you're not working or something that you can't be here, get yourself here. I'm telling you, it's good teaching going on. But Paulette was talking about her son playing football, and he come running off the field because his shoulder had been knocked out of place, and it was just kind of dangling. And you know what? As long as it was in that condition, what could the rest of his arm do? Just hang there. Take that, devil. Hold still a minute. Come here. Missed him again. But here's the thing. You know what? It said the trainer, they got on the sideline, and the trainer kind of what? Popped that thing back in. Ouch, that hurt. But you know what? It wasn't but just a few minutes later, he goes trotting back out on the field. Why? Yeah. Now I'm ready. This thing's working good now. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been the silliest thing in the world if he'd have come off that field and his shoulders dangling like this, and the coach got mad at him and said, I'll show you, and yanked the other one out of socket. But how many times do we do that in the body of Christ? I'll show you. I'll teach you to get that thing out of socket. We'll get the other one out of socket. Now, how you like him apples? Isn't that silly? We all laugh at that, but you know what? We do that. I said, we do that. He said, we have different gifts. Everybody say different gifts. Isn't that good? That's a good thing. Diversity in God is good. I've said this before. Think about how many different kind of flowers. I mean, boy, living here in South Florida especially. You, man, all the flowers. You look at the beautiful orchids and all the, I don't even know the names of all the tropical flowers, but, you know, just beautiful. So many different colors, shades of color. I mean, you look at the diversity. I mean, God made the sky blue. It could have just been old black, I guess. I mean, I don't know, or gray or something, but he made it blue. Why does the sunset have to be so beautiful? You know? He could have just, I guess, like a light bulb, it's night. But think about the diversity. All the different animals, all the different beautiful birds and the colors and the songs and everything and all the fish. I mean, God's a God of diversity, isn't he? He didn't just make, about 10 big whales and throw them out in the ocean. That's it. Listen, we have different gifts. Here in grace, there's some of you that got gifts that you haven't discovered yet. During this series, I hope to help you to discover those. Others of you, you have gifts, but you haven't put them to use. You haven't developed them yet. We're going to help you too. Because here's the thing. If we're ever going to be all that God called us to be, and to produce the fruit God's called us to produce here at Grace, you and your gift have to get going. Engaged, busy, releasing. Because you know what? Your gift is like that woman's vial. When it's broken and you begin to use that gift, there's a sweet smelling aroma that fills the whole building. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever your gift. He said, we got different gifts. And here's the thing. Paul said, never compare yourself to someone else.
Amen.
Why? Because I've got a different gifting than you have, than Gary has. Man, I tell you what, you turn Gary loose in the kitchen. Woo, something good. You turn me loose? Well, good luck. You know? Good luck. But whatever it is, we all have gifts that have been given to us spiritually. And he said, when everybody uses them, it's just like getting yourself dressed this morning. You know, every part of your body was involved. Every part. Your hands, your feet, the ligaments, the joints, your eyes, your brain, your heart, your lungs breathing in. Everything. Everything was engaged. Even though you were doing something as mundane as combing your hair or shaving or whatever it was, your whole body was engaged. And this is the thing that we need to do. We need to discover our giftings and begin to allow God to show us, okay, how do we break the box? How do we put these into motion? How do we get these things engaged? When we do that, you know what? Instead of one gift trying to be, you know, have you ever seen one tool that could do everything? You guys that work as a tool? Now, Lord knows we've tried, haven't we? And I reckon the closest thing to come to it would be maybe the hammer. We used to say, don't force it, get a bigger hammer. You know, but you know, the truth of the matter is there's not just one tool that you can take to the job. And it's just such a fantastic tool that you can build a whole house with it. Isn't that right? Because when you need a saw, a hammer won't do. Isn't that right? And when you get ready to cut, it sure would be good if you could cut it straight. Isn't that right? You want that thing level. Right, you want to pull something out, you want to pull that level out, make sure it's level. Well, here's the thing. Too often what we've done is this. We've said, okay, one tool can build the whole house of God. The pastor. Oh, he can do it. He can do it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. We look at great churches, we think, boy, they must have a great pastor. And they probably do. But here's the thing. One tool, even the pastor tool, one tool cannot build a house.
That's right.
Amen. One tool will not build grace.
Right.
Not one tool. Whatever the gifts that the elders have, the two tools won't build a house.
That's right.
You take a hammer and saw, you still can't build a house.
Yes.
You got to have some nails. You got to have some joists. You got to pour some concrete. There's a lot of things that got to go in there. Listen, it's going to take a lot of different tools, a lot of different members. And we've got to get past this set that one person is going to get it all done. It's not going to happen. They may want it to. It would be great if it could do it. If wanting to get it done would do it, then, you know, one tool could get it done. But it's not wanting. It's a divine enablement. What did it say over there in Psalm? He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in. How is he going to build his house? These supernatural gifts and abilities that are going to be given to us. Real quickly, turn over to 1 Peter 4. You getting anything out of this? 1 Peter 4, real quickly. Verse 10. Notice what he says here. He said, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Uh-oh. Where the train gets off the track, right here. Faithfully. Everybody say faithfully.
Faithfully.
Faithfully. He didn't say hit and miss. When you feel like it. Once in a while, sure would be good. He said, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In other words, God's gift that's in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, and you. And you know what? It's going to come out. And it's going to come out in a different form, in a different way. But you know what? It's going to minister to everybody in here. The gifts that's in you, the gifts that's in you, the gifts that's in you, and in you, and in you. It's going to come forth. And he said, here's the key. And this is a key. We'll get into this later. But here's the key ahead of time. You want to see your gift developed. You want to see it fruitful. Here's the key. Be faithful with it. This is where so many Christians miss it. Is it? They're up and down. They're in and out. Why does God put us in a local body. One thing is he wants us to begin to practice using our gifts that he's given us on one another. We're going to practice on you. Because here's the thing. You're supposed to love me unconditionally. So if I mess up, you know, it's not the end of the world. Or it shouldn't be. It's not the end of our relationship if I mess up a little bit. If you mess up, same thing's true here. And we practice on one another and we learn to develop and use that gift and use the grace that's in us and we get skillful with it in here. Then when we go out there, praise God, we're good to go. We're good to use that gift. And here's the thing. God will use you, listen, in what we call evangelism. You know, those lost people out there. Remember them? He will use the gift or gifts he's given you. That's what he wants to use through you to reach them. Amen. See, I think what's happened is, you know, we have some, there's something called gift projection. That is, for example, if I'm a teacher, I think that everybody ought to be one. Because I think it's the greatest thing in the world. The only problem is the pastor feels that way, the apostle feels that way, the worship leader feels, you know. But what we've got to be careful, it's good that you appreciate the gift of God, but what we've got to be careful is we don't project that in the sense that we say, okay, this is more important than yours.
Yeah.
They're all important.
That's right.
And so what happens sometimes, see, is you know, we get a hold of some evangelism techniques that somebody with certain giftings has put together, and for them, it's the greatest thing in the world. But for you, it's like you trying to cut a board with a hammer. I'm whacking and stuff's flying, but boy, I'm telling you, there's got to be a better way to cut this board. No, that's it, man. That's it. The hammer's the bad. But God will use whatever gifts he's given you. It may be mercy. It may be serving. It may be teaching, but even in teaching, if it's that's the way, he'll use you to help others. It could be in any different ways, and we'll look at the gifts. There are a number of them. We'll look at them in the process of this series. But then as you locate yours, then, you know, that's the way God wants to flow through you.
Yeah.
You, some people say, Pastor, I don't say, how does God want to use me? Well, how has he gifted you? And then that blank look comes on their face, and I realize they haven't been taught. They don't know. Because that's the way he wants to use you. You know, I love seeing all the gifts that God's given to the church. I see them utilized and developed, and I see them operating. And every time I see them, I think, boy, God, boy, it'd be great to have that one. It'd be great to have that one. Boy, it'd be great to have. You know, I just, you know, if it's up to me, I'd just love to have them all because it's just, they're just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I see people operating in a grace, and it just seems so effortless. It just, I'm just like,
yeah. Wow,
that's beautiful. That's awesome, God. Look at you working through him and her. Look at you. Look at that. You just flowed through them and just disarmed that person. And if I'd have been trying to deal with my gift, we'd have been in a fist fight. Not really, but you know. You know what I mean. It's just... Y'all, what did y'all say that's right for? Real quickly. I mean, it's 2 minutes to 12. You give me just a little more time? Acts chapter 1. We're just trying to introduce, why did God give gifts to men? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, if we're going to use these gifts, first thing I want to know is why did he give them in the first place? Because the way he gave them, if I don't know why God gave the gift, I'm liable to use it in the wrong way. I'm liable to use it selfishly. We just said, he said various gifts, and they're to be faithfully used, what? To serve others. Everybody say this, others. Say this after me. Others does not mean me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can there be a few things that are not about us, not about me? I know that's hard. It is, isn't it? Because, you know, wherever you go, there you are. And all your stuff comes with you, didn't it? You guys moved from Alabama, but when you got here, lo and behold, here you are, right? Same thing with us. You bring stuff with you. Real quickly, Acts 1:8. Notice, he said, but you will receive, what? Power. That word there is dunamis. It means miraculous working ability. But you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What is the reason the Holy Spirit, we hear at Full Gospel Church, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming upon you? So you can fall down on the floor?
No.
Nothing wrong with that, but it's not. That's not the purpose, is it?
No.
Is it just so you'll have lots of joy and everything? Well, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But what did he say? He said, you will be what? Witnesses. God's gifting grace upon your life and operating in your life, when you live out of that, you know what he said? He said, that is going to become a witness. You know, but what, you know what we do? We all try to learn the four spiritual laws. Awful quiet in here. Come on. You say, are you putting down the four? No, I'm not putting down the four. But that was written by somebody that had a teaching type of gift. Da, 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 da. That may not be you. You may be more inspirational. You may be more of have the exhortive kind. It may be that God flows through you in a different way. And you're over here. Okay, hold on a second now. Wait. Don't go anywhere. That doesn't work for you. But we've tried to make ones, you know, it's like, you know, you go in these places, you know, you got these clothes, one size fits all. Right. I believe that. Yeah. I got some land for you too. One size fits all. There's no one size fits all, is it? He said, you'll receive power. And when this power in the form of dunamis comes upon us, it comes upon us and it manifests. One of the ways it manifests through us is through these giftings that are varied and various and different, both in their effects and in the way they operate and everything is different. So if I discover how that dunamis is wanting to flow through me, then I can use that gift, which will have God's grace upon it. And you know what? I'm going to be fruitful. Because what did he say? He said, I've called you that you might, what? Bear fruit, and that fruit will remain. So what is the purpose of the gifts? To bear fruit. To glorify Jesus. To honor him. Because you know what? It's him working through me. So I can't take any of the credit. You know, sometimes we want to notch our spiritual gun. Here's another one. No, listen. Paul said, he said, I labored more than all of the apostles put together. But he was quick to remind them, yet it was not me, but the grace of God working in me. Let's learn to flow with the grace. Learn to flow with the gift. Learn to flow with how God wants to use us. And you know what? It's going to bless the body, and it's going to make you fruitful out there as you deal with everyday life. It's kind of like what we say, you understand in the natural, be yourself. You understand what we mean? In other words, in Christ, be yourself. Be who God's made you to be. Stop trying to copy somebody else. That God hasn't gifted you that way. He hasn't graced you that way. And to church, you know, engage. You were going to talk about this. Engage your gifting. And this is why. See, why do we do men's, women's, helps, worship team, young adults, different ministries that we do here? One of the reasons we do that is not just to have some programs. One of the reasons we do that, well, it's twofold. Number one, certainly we want to minister to people. But number two, how do we want to minister to people? By people having the opportunity to discover and begin to develop and use their gifts through these different channels. Are you listening to me? Some of you out there, maybe God's gifted you as a musician, as a worship leader. We need you. Some of you, maybe God's gifted you in the area of prayer and intercession. We need you. Some of you, God's gifted and anointed you in the area of helps and serving and doing. We need you. Some of you, God's gifted you in areas of children or ministering to people or evangelism or prison ministry or whatever it is. Whatever your gift is, we need you. You say, oh, but my gift's so little. It does not matter. If God saw fit to put that gift in the body, then it has purpose and value. God does not give superfluous gifts. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a function. And in this series, we're going to look at a number of these gifts. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about how to discover what they are, the ones that I may have, how to put them into motion. Amen? You know, really, that's part of what a church is about. You come here for training. Training in what? Well, training in the Word, but also training in the gifting God's given you. Like I say, you learn here in an atmosphere where there's no condemnation. There's an atmosphere here where we're going to love you. Huh? Because here's the thing. Everybody has to deal with fear of rejection or fear of failure. I want to get out there and fall on my face. Well, exercise it here. If you fall on your face, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, good effort. Help you get back up. We'll teach you a little more, and then you go at it again. Hello? That's the way the apostles had to learn. Amen? They didn't just wake up one morning and say, ta-da, I'm an apostle, look at me. It didn't work that way. I mean, they had to deal with all kinds of things. I mean, think about the holy apostles. You know, one of them's mama got involved in the ministry. Said, Jesus, how about my boy? Can't my boy sit at your right hand? I mean, you know, she was a position seeker. She's going to make sure her boy got the best spot. You know, and they got an argument about that. And if that wasn't bad enough, the other 10, they got mad about it. And I say this on the side, they got mad because they didn't think I'd sooner. Wish I'd have thought to ask them. No, here's the thing. They had to deal with issues in their life. They had to deal with stuff in their life. This is why Wednesday night is so important, because this is what Paulette's talking about. Because many times the things that keeps us, we can't seem to discover what our gracing is, what our gifting is, how God wants to use us. We've got so much junk covering it up. So much clutter in there. So God begins to what? Work and deal and get that stuff out. And all of a sudden, oh, wow. I like this gift, God. This is great. Creativity. All of those different things flow. And you know, and why, if I'm a hammer, why in the world do I need to try to be a saw? No. We need you to take that place. And man, we'll watch you cut wood and we'll just go, wow. Man, boy, can you cut that wood. Man, you're good. Look at God working in you. Wow. Can I just watch? Wow. Isn't that right? Instead of saying, well, I'll tell you what, we only believe in hammers here. This is a hammer church. Wow. No. Listen, we want all the tools. And when we do that, you know what? God's going to use them, and He's going to build grace. And you know what? He's going to make us a force out there. His grace flowing through our gifts, touching a world. That's what it's about, isn't it? Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Well, I hope you got something out of this morning. I encourage you, you don't have to clap. Yes, he is. We're going to be talking about more in this little series. And then as we conclude it, we're going to do something here where we're going to set up out in the lobby and as we move toward the end of this series. And all the different ministry opportunities are going to be out there so you can see what's available. And you can begin to say, hey, you know what? My gifting will work good right here. And you know what? There are going to be people there. You can just step right in, begin to flow with your gifting. See, this is the reason why, you know, we don't run a dictatorship, because, you know, when you come in, well, you don't know nothing. No, we may have to teach you a little bit and all, but you know what? We want to let your gift flow. We just want to let you soar with your gift. And nobody's going to yank your leg back down. Get down from there. You're hiring me. You soar, honey. Go high as God will enable you to go. Man, I'm going to be down there. I'll be close as I can get to cheer you on. Go, 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 go. Not whoa, 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 but go, 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 go. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to be everything God's made you to be. And I believe if we do that, God will take care of the rest. Amen. The people, the building, the bills, and all that stuff. God will take care of the stuff. Amen. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If you're here this morning, I don't want to dismiss without asking this question. If anyone here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. What does that mean? That means, first of all, that you come to the realization that you're a sinner. What does a sinner mean? It means that somebody living for myself and not for God. And second, you understand this, that no one can save himself. No matter how good you are or you try to be, good works will save no one. There is only one way to heaven. The Bible says this, that Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me and by me. Paul, the apostle, wrote this. He said, whoever will believe in their heart that Jesus, the Son of God, that he went to a place called Calvary. He took your burden. He took your sins. He took your punishment. He said, if you will believe on him and declare that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I've never made him Lord of my life, but I'm going to this morning. Would you just lift your hand up so I can see you? I want to pray with you. Anywhere? Anyone? Listen, this is not a game. This is serious business. You want to make sure your heart is right with God. You want to make sure that you know that you are saved. Anyone at all? One last opportunity. Father, you know the hearts of all men and women. God, I pray, Lord, that I just feel like there's somebody here that needs to make this decision. I can't. I'm going to let you go, but I just can't. Somebody here, God's dealing with you. God's dealing with you. He's saying today is the day. Don't harden your heart. Listen, there's no condemnation. Listen, everybody in this building who's saved came the way we're talking about. Every one of us had to admit that we were a sinner, that we needed God. If you're here this morning, God's dealing with your heart. Please, don't put him off. You may not have another opportunity. I hope you do, but you may not. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. Father, I did my best. And Lord, I pray that you give them another opportunity. I pray, oh God, that you will not stop striving with this person, oh God. But Father, deal with them and draw them. Lord, show them you're not out to get them. You're out to lift them. You're out to forgive them. You're out to help them. You're out to save and to bless, oh God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.